Well, it's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning. I'm Tom. I didn't want to talk about the weather or the mud. It's just what it is. But if we can get Joe, we can mix the Joe Beam into that, I'm okay. It calms me down. I should be wound up for the radio show, but calms me down. Maybe I was too wound up to start off with. Anyway, my goodness. a lot of stuff going on. A lot of construction project stuff we can talk about in a bit. But tangential to doing construction projects, as one gets older, and I've, as one who sits here before you, bearing witness on Saturday morning, I'm putting my hands in the air, I'm picking up the vibrations, okay? As I get older and I do these things, I find that there are parts of my body that just hurt. Most of my body just hurts. So, I don't want to take Advil all the time. Don't want to take Tylenol. And I don't. In some level, maybe the pain is the good thing. It shows that I'm still kicking. But you got arthritis you throw in there. That is something that can be challenging. So I don't know where I came across this, but I came across this thing. Is a arthritis remedy. And most of you out, a lot of you out there are going to like this one. It's raisins and gin. Okay? So I got your attention at 8:11 on Saturday morning. What you do is you buy yourself a box of them golden raisins. They say you can, some people say you could use regular raisins, some people don't, but they say the golden raisins will work. Okay? I'm headed to Tozier's today, okay, for this exact remedy. And you take the box of raisins, you put it in a shallow pan, and you cover them with gin. All right. Sounds like a plan. And then you let the gin evaporate. That sounds a little, somebody might consider that to be a sin, but that's okay. So the gin evaporates, and what's left is raisins that have been treated with gin. And you eat the raisins. You're supposed to eat 8 a day or something. And it's supposed to help with arthritis. So I think in the name of science, I should try this. I haven't had gin in the house in a long time. I was on a jag a couple of years ago. I thought, well, you know, I ought to make Tom Collins. My name is Tom. That seems like something. So, and I'm not particularly a drinker. But gin's been, has exited the Gozy household many years ago, but I'm going to try it and I will report back to you. And I'm going to use, and they said use the cheap gin, so much the better. And I go for the Poland Spring gin because it's Poland Spring, it's Maine. Okay. So I will report back next week. Well, maybe a miracle cure. And then you will say, boy, it's worth it to get up on Saturday morning. So, yeah, okay. I'm just checking. So what perpetrates all this stuff is I've been working on the office all week. I'm a week behind where I thought I would be, but we insulated the office building. We put a partition up, covered the walls with OSB, and architect Dave challenged me on the fact I'm covering foam with OSB. And I've been chewing on that one, Dave, but here's the thing. I'm not sleeping in there. So he didn't think it was enough of a fire barrier, but I'm not sleeping in there. If I fall asleep and the fire starts, I'll have a smoke detector, but I think if you're sleeping there, it becomes a real issue. But I just always be as quick and easy. It's solid. I can screw stuff to it. I can have all kinds of fun. So it's all OSB, foamed all the cracks, OSB'd over it. And then in this building, which was on an uninsulated slab, we put insulation on the floor and put a double layer of OSB with the joints offset. So the office space should heat very effectively. When it's done, it'll have R40 walls. It already has been capped. And the floor now has about an R12 maybe over the floor. So I had to take the door out and reset it, which was a good thing because it wasn't put in right to start off with. And so we're making some progress. I've been painting. I've got flooring to put down. And then we can start moving a lot of office stuff in because God, we got a lot of office stuff to move. So that's progress. A lot of this has had to happen at odd times because, of course, coincident with that, we've become really busy between cars and battery rebuilds and the rest. But that's another story for another time. Let's see. I tell you what, I'm gonna take a break here. It's 8:15. But this, there's certain things that if there's a commercial break in my life or a music break in my life, and nobody's going to hear it but me because it's in my rather thick head, this song is one of the ones, you know, if I'm just can't listen to the radio because there's not much I want to hear on the radio musically, I will start with this song. And we just don't hear this one enough, and we should. At 8:15 in the morning, you're gonna. Hey, we're back. It's 8:21. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom, and I didn't give the phone numbers the last time where we talked. It's 1-800-966-1039. We got a text line, too, which is 601-207-4478. They both work, and they're both up and running, and everything is fine, including the banjo music. Oh, God, isn't that a good one? Okay, stop it, Tom. Stop it. went to do plumbing down in the basement. I'm waiting for some circulator pumps. They came in. I'm replumbing my heating system in my spare time. And, I realized I needed some fittings. Okay. That's not a big deal. I can get them locally, but I also needed a tubing cutter. And so I was pricing them out, and I said, I'm going to order it online. So I ordered it. Tubing cutter came, and it is wonder. You know, I have tubing cutters that I have. This is for plastic tubing for PEX. Just, you know, use them forever. And they required a fair bit of effort to cut tubing. So I ordered this new tubing cutter. It was like $5.72. I said, well, you know, $5, because I couldn't find my other tube. I broke one. I tossed that. The one I broke was probably 30 years old, had plastic handles, and I finally snapped one. So the one I'd been normally using, I couldn't find. I know I had a backup one somewhere. Of course, I can't find that because everything's been moved. So I said, I just order a new one. So I ordered this tubing cutter, $5.72. What a deal, huh? And it's metal. Well, I'm not going to break the handles. So, and I go and I cut a sample of tubing, and it is like a really hot knife through butter. It just sliced right through. So I could see the potential there for my cutting myself really well, although I've never cut my finger on a tubing cutter. But I'm using the thing, and I pinched the palm of my hand in it. I get a blister. I'm like, oh, is this why it was $5.72? But I'll just be careful. Or I'll put something on the handle to prevent me from doing something stupid, but it raised a nice blister is what it did, by Godfrey, and that's okay. It cuts good, and that's all that counts. The rest of it is just maybe sheer stupidity on your radio host's part. As I said, we're supposedly going to be moved out on Tuesday for the end of the month. That ain't happening, and I was talking to my now landlord, and he says, well, you're taking the buildings down inside your building, aren't you? If you've been in my shop, I have two structures that we put up in there because the shop is 40 feet tall. So you cannot keep yourself warm in the winter if you're on the floor because all the heat just rises up 40 feet. I mean, it just is. It could probably create its own microclimate and rainstorms because it's so tall and it's a big building. So, no, I would have, at some point I would have said, yes, I'd love to have all those materials. That ship has sailed. I'm just trying to get out. So in the process of trying to get out, I've got Pete and Maria working with me, my two middle children. And Maria asked, and she does the detail stuff. She works like my wife in the sense that my wife is detail-oriented. So if there's anything detail-oriented, finely tuned, we have Maria do it. She keeps track of paperwork and stuff. If I yell, where's the something or other. You know, next thing I know, I've got it in my hands. So, so she's good. But she's not the mechanical person. I'm the mechanical person, piece of mechanical person. So she says in the space she's in, she's got workbenches and shelves. Says, you want me to take those down? Sure. Go. So I gave her a cordless drill, and she took everything apart. I was very impressed. And she did a fine job. And it freed me up to do other stuff, which is a good thing. And she completely disassembled her whole work area. I mean, everything. There was big, heavy things on the walls for holding rolls of plastic sheeting. I got it all apart, got it down, and all we got to do now is move it. Yeah, that's all. So it's good. Let's see. What else? You guys know that we're moving. I said that a million times. And the office space now is more or less set up for us. We'll be doing a lot more work to the office, but it's done and it's clean, and I'm painting. Going to take another coat of paint and it'll be ready to roll. But we have OSB on the floors. And we have OSB on the floors where we are now, so we would like to step up a notch. So I have not done it. My son has. I have not done it yet. But the I decided that we I've done a lot of laminate floors over the years, and I like laminate floors, but I did not want to use laminate floor where we are because we've got a lot of gravel. I know it's not going to stand up to the wear and tear. So I got some vinyl plank flooring, which we're going to put down, which I'm very curious about. Like I said, my son Peter put some down, and I like the way it looked. I like the way it wears. I like the idea that it has some resiliency to it, so you cannot nick it. Or if you do nick it, it may not be as visible as might be on a laminate or a hardwood floor, for that matter. So so that's on the agenda for the weekend. To the last thing I'll do in the office before we start moving stuff in, we still have to spiff up a lot of stuff, but we can at least get set up over there. And if you come to see us when we're at the new location and you are buying a car or a tank or something, it'll actually kind of look civilized, at least inside the office. So that's a step, But the other thing is I was shopping online, as I do. I'm always checking prices online. I'm big for the cost of whatever it is you're looking at. And when we were talking about flooring products, we're usually pricing it by the square foot. So that becomes an issue. Not necessarily that that's the end all and be all issue, but if I want to do something and just test it out, I may want something with a lower cost per square foot. So I'm shopping by the cost per square foot, and I got online to a national retailer. And they had some very affordable vinyl planking, and I called about it. It looked like it was in stock in the store, and I called, and we can have it for you in a week and a half. No, I need it tomorrow. I need it today. I don't need it tomorrow even. So I called around to discount stores and found that it was kind of, there was not much that was discounted. It might have been good product. I didn't go to look. I just wanted to check price. And I ultimately wound up at the Home Depot Saturday morning. I checked inventory on, with the internet, we have the luxury of, before you make that 28-mile trip from Searsport to Bangor to go to Home Depot, you can see how much is sitting on the shelf. And it's usually pretty accurate. So whatever it happens to be, if you need 10 of something, you can see if it's there when you leave the house at least, and chances are it'll be there when you get there. And it was this morning for me, so I've got the flooring. So thank you, Home Depot. Let's see. A little bit more low-key again. I bring you up and bring you down with the music on Saturday mornings, but that's just the way it goes. We'll be back in just a bit. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. The phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line, which is 601-207-4478. Is it time to take a nap? Well, maybe for a minute. A minute I'm going to give you 3 minutes, okay? Get in the comfortable chair, close your eyes, and set the timer on your whatever. 3 minutes, we'll be back, and it's time to wake up. It's hot and cold. Stay with us. Okay, we're back. Chocolate. I have struggled with that line. Chocolate chip and kisses full of love. Who writes that stuff? Mr. Stevie Wonder does on Saturday morning. It's hot and cold. We're back. It's 8:37. I want to talk about my friend over at General Appliance, Alan. He's open Monday 9 to 4. Oh, he got the funky bass going there for Alan. doesn't that make you just want to get up and not just do nothing? Stevie Wonder, I tell you something, he's something else. Anyway, our friend Alan over General Appliance in Brewers open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, doggone it, you got to call Alan at 989-4341. 989-4341. This is our memorization part of the program. 989-4341. He will help you fix things. And he will fix them if you don't want to fix them. And he will get you appliances if you ain't got them. So there. All right. So let's, Mr. Wonder, we'll take a break there. And excuse me, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line 601-207-4478. The texts have come in. The texts are arriving as I speak. First one's Tom up in Sangerville, Guilford, excuse me, Tom. According to advocates, pot solves all problems. Gee, I think you're right, Tom. Here's the thing. Economic development in Maine was craft breweries, huh? And now it's pot? What? Economic development is making things of not consumables, not service industry. It's making tangible items. That's just my humble opinion on the radio program. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Turn your radio down, please. Hello?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. Just a quick question. How big a job is it to replace your heating coil in a boiler mate?
I'll be honest. I've never done it. You have to unplumb it, which is not the end of the world, but then you turn it upside down. It bolts into the bottom. I've done it. You'll need a new gasket along. Usually, if you got a new coil, the gasket comes with it. Yeah. And if the potential wild card here is if a fastener breaks on you, so I would be a little careful about that. As one, you may find this hard to believe, as one who has broken fasteners, but I think the one I did, I was able to remediate. So it is fixable, but it's not too hairy.
Okay, yeah, just curious. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. I think I broke one, and it was on a commercial boiler mate, and I was able to reseal it. It was a long time ago I did that, but anyway. Tom's thing here on the just so I could rant a little more. You know, you watch TV, you watch the news, everybody gets excited about food trucks and gets excited about pot, whatever. CBD is the new big thing everybody's excited about. It's going to cure everything. And of course, craft breweries were the same way. These are all great things in the sense they create jobs. They do something hopefully positive. I'm sure 100 years ago there would have been people who said something to the contrary, but well, let's say it's positive. But this is not an economy builder, I think, the way, let's say, the guys down in Winslow who are going to make fiber insulation, that's an economy builder. That's creating a tangible product from the raw materials we generate in the state of Maine, and we add value to it, and we create jobs that are... Now, all that being said, people do drink a lot of beer, people do use a lot of pot. But, you know, that kind of serves the general populace of the state. It doesn't bring money into the state from away the way, say, the paper industry did or the lumber industry did when Maine, you know, Bangor was the lumber capital of the world to what, 1865 or something like that? And then it was just a gradual decline from there. So All right, that's my 2 cents worth on that one. Let's see, we got another one here. What's the best way to store a new car? How long? I'm not sure. Well, if you're going to store a car as a collectible, I think you get it on blocks at very least. I guess drain it out of gas. I don't think cars are. The ideal is to use the car, albeit small amounts. It just makes it better. So every 6 months, maybe you run it at least. My big concern is gas, and the fact that gasoline can go bad in a tank, and then causes all kinds of problems. And likewise, there's some lubricating effect of fuel and oil in vehicles that if it's not there, I think things can dry out. Likewise with coolant systems. So I'm not an expert on setting up cars, but certainly disconnect the battery, get it up off the tires so you got it on blocks or something. In a climate-controlled environment where it's dry, humidity is going to kill it, is going to cause a lot of potential problems. So for what that's worth. And then I also got a text here, how do heat wires work on pipes in a crawl space? Okay, I think you need to get a quality heat tape and something that gives you the ability to monitor it somehow. It's got LED light or something, just so you know what's going on. And certainly you double check it. I have had the experience years ago where we had a heat tape, and of course it failed at the wrong time. And the crawl space that I had was about a foot high. And the blessing from God was that I am not an obese person. And I crawled in there, and in hindsight, I wish I was an obese person because I didn't want to be under there any time of year, much less the wintertime, where there's maybe a foot of clearance to try to thaw pipes. And I've had a couple experiences like that. So the ideal is to try to keep the pipes on the room side of the insulation. And you do not use fiberglass to insulate pipes in a place like this. You use, if you could get the pipes up against the floor and put a good layer of foam underneath it, you're way ahead of the game in terms of keeping the pipe from potentially freezing because it's got some exposure to the room temperature up above it. Plus the floor stays warmer if you've got it insulated. So I hope that makes some sense. I try to make sense on Saturday mornings. I'm not sure that always happens. excuse me. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. I will be hearing from Pete shortly. He's tied up with a customer this morning, so we may start a little bit late on the yard sale. The yard sale last weekend was good, but we didn't make a dent in the stuff that's there. So and there's more stuff than there was last week. So we kind of backslid a little bit in that we got more stuff out. There's a lot of stuff there. So for what it's worth, it's worth a trip to go down to Searsport, 423 East Main Street to see what's what. Back to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, thanks. Sometimes I get to listen to your show. It's you do a great job over there. So my question is probably too general, but we have a two-car garage. It's pretty big. It's probably 30 by 50, whatever, and there's a loft up above. It's all open, all finished off, rough finished out. No plumbing and no electricity. So what am I going to be faced with first, the electrical wiring or the plumbing or all of it at once? And we want to make that livable. I guess that's the question.
Okay. And the first floor of the garage is, of course, unheated.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is.
Not heated. Yeah. So I've gotten older, and I mean, in terms of wiring, it's easier in some ways to get into the walls and run wiring, but I like surface mounting conduit and surface mounted boxes. And if they're down low, they're behind furniture, so they're not real visible. And that frees you from having to poke holes in walls and root around in insulation. And you can change things easily because it's all in the room with you.
Okay.
If that makes sense, that would be the direction I would go. You have to shop online for a little bit, but you can get baseboard that actually is a conduit that allows you to run the wiring in a plastic baseboard.
Okay.
Would be a really nice option, simple option. But you could use, you know, regular conduit is readily available places like Home Depot. The plumbing, I would try to keep the plumbing to the inside of the insulated shell. So, sometimes folks will hide that in a baseboard or a little bit of a chase that might be in the baseboard area, because you can run half inch or 3/8 diameter PEX tubing for your fixtures, and doesn't take up a lot of space. And if it's inside the insulated shell, it's a lot easier to protect from freezing.
All right. Well, does it matter if the plumbing, the sun, it faces the sun when the sun goes across the sky from east to west, and that's where all the heat comes in, the big, huge windows. So it's got huge windows, from the floor to the ceiling, and it's a crazy place. But it's a beautiful open space, and it's just it needs to be finished. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Okay.
Well,
that's my 2 cents worth. Okay, thanks. Bye bye. All right, over to line two we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes. Good morning, Tom. I have an attic insulation question.
Sure.
So we have an older home that originally, when it was originally built, it's got 2x6 joists for the ceiling, and when they insulated, they just put 3-inch insulation in. So want to add to that, but I was just wondering whether to just get some additional 6-inch unfaced and go through the bays and then cover that with 12-inch, or
I would say the easiest approach is to blow insulation on top of it. And it could be fiberglass or cellulose. You can do it yourself with cellulose, which is not itchy. Fiberglass is. That would usually be done by a contractor. But I would get another 12 to 18 inches of cellulose on top of what you have. You don't have to take out what's there. You can leave it. Where you have so little insulation, it is worth your time and effort to look around, to lift some of that, and see where there are penetrations through the floor or ceiling. It depends how you look at it. That would allow you to, if there's wires coming up through, you get a couple cans of foam around the wires. If there's any pipes, like vent pipes, seal around those. Around chimneys, and just use canned foam for that. Around a chimney, if you've got a chimney coming up through, you really have to use flashing. You can't use foam up against it. Although I think if you flash it, you could use silicone caulk to seal it. And that works real well. And what we're trying to do is keep warm air from coming up through into the attic space and cause moisture problems.
Sure.
And you have the luxury right now of not having a lot of insulation up there. So, before it gets too hot, it would be easy enough to get up there and stop those leaks, as well as get the insulation topped off as well. So.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. I've got a message here from Pete. Let's see what he says. Where's this real good radio right here? Pete is going to be opening at 9 o'clock for the yard sale. So there you go, and that's in 10 minutes. What else I got? I completely lost my train of thought. I've been using in the building, we've done the garage building, we've done all surface mount conduit, which just makes perfect sense. Routing wires through walls is not my idea of a good time. And in surface mount, you can change stuff. In the office, we're doing the same thing. We're putting surface mount outlets in. So again, if we need to change or move something, it's not that big a deal to do that. So, there's two kinds of conduit you can use. There's metal, and there's also plastic. The plastic, in theory, you should be gluing together. Gosh, a lot of the stuff I've taken apart has never been glued. It's just kind of, a plug and socket kind of thing. You just put it in there. and the metal conduit and plastic conduit, of course, you cut with a saw, just a hand saw. Metal conduit you would cut with a tubing cutter. I prefer the plastic, but I use the metal in the workshop just because it is a place where there's a lot more potential for things to go flying or things to get run into. I don't think it would happen anywhere where I've got outlets, but it's just more rugged. The downside to metal, of course, is it's going to corrode if it gets wet. It is conductive. If you make a mistake, you could, you know, get a shock or do something. But if somebody knows what they're doing wiring-wise, that's fine. So that makes a difference. What else? The one thing that I just want to reiterate, as we've talked about this a lot, and I occasionally get texts from folks about it, is the fact that if you don't know, even if you know what you're doing when it comes to wiring, you should have an electrician in the loop with you. And the electrician is going to be there just to oversee what you've done. And if it ever became an issue with the insurance company, with the code person or whatever, you've got a license there behind you to make sure that everything's done right. The wire size is right. The breaker size is right. Things are grounded properly. That's kind of important stuff. And it doesn't cost that much to do. I've done it many times over the years where I'll bring an electrician in. I'll do the grunt work. Electrician comes in and I will pay them to look at everything I've done, either before or after or both many times. It just makes sense. And it, you know, they don't have to get all dirty crawling around in old buildings. I've done that work, but, there's usually people who will work with you on this. I would say probably maybe similarly, it's possible in plumbing. It depends. Legally, I think in the state of Maine, you could wire your own house. Do I want to see you do that? Not if you're not sure what about what you're doing. And there's a lot of stuff on code that has changed in, say, the past 10 years related to breakers and stuff in particular. So it's kind of critical. You can get online and you can research anything, but that only takes you so far. And then, you know, a person who is licensed is going to be up to date on what the code is, and to make sure that it's safe, especially when it comes to things like arc-resistant breakers, or am I saying it right? Arc fault breakers. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. We're coming up on the top of the hour. Hour number one has gone bye-bye. I can't believe it. I've been meaning to play this one for a while, and it's probably as good as time as any to do it. So here we go. We'll be back in a bit. It's hot and cold. Stay with us Saturday morning. Be right back. All right. Eric, enough. God, he can't stop singing on Saturday mornings. I don't know what that, I don't know. Okay. Calm down. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line 601-207-4478. And let's see, we got any texts? No, we don't. I expect we'll hear from Pete in a little while about the big yard sale or big moving sale. It ain't a yard sale. It's a garage sale. It's indoors, out of the rain. And have we got stuff to get rid of? And if you bring money, we'll give you a lot of stuff. We'll give you more stuff than you wanted. How's that for a deal? And what else? At 423 East Main Street, the Prius store in Searsport, it's got to go. Everything's got to go. Nothing can remain. That's all I have to say about that. Our text line, 601-207-4478. Oh, I know. The text had reminded me of something. People were asking me about heat pump water heaters. We've got four that we have no idea what the disposition of them are. Excuse me. And I think they could be had quite inexpensively. They may all be broken. But there may be signs of life, too. I don't know. They're going to be cheap enough that you can scrap them out if you want when we're done. So it's amazing the things that we've uncovered. And it's going to be more amazing if I ever get it unpacked and sorted out properly. I have got more wiring for electric cars than Jimmy Carter had peanuts. I do declare And I just can't throw it away. And I had, because I had thinned out the wiring probably 8 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. I mean, we're talking wires the size of your pinky finger in diameter, maybe bigger, maybe the diameter of one of your other fingers. And you notice how I discreetly avoided making any mention of a certain thing. Anyway, it's all copper. So we it's big enough that it's easy to get the insulation off. And then I want to tell you, you've got some money. Why am I having a yard sale? Hopefully you're not closing up shop. Well, no, I'm not. We're moving. We're moving down the street 1/4 mile. We have not been, we don't have the final things yet. So the move is slowing down slightly because I don't think we're going to be out by Tuesday. So we'll probably be going on a week-by-week basis. And there's some bureaucratic things going on that we have to get sorted out. Nothing major. We will be moving, though. And it's just 1/4 mile down the street. It's right across from Just Barb's restaurant. Don't stop there now because there's nobody there and there's nothing for sale there. And there's no reason to go there other than it's muddy. So don't do it. Come to our regular place, which is 1/4 mile down the street at 423 East Main Street, which is where we are. We've got lots of stuff. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello?
Good morning. Yes, I'm looking to call talk with Tom.
You're on the air. Go ahead. Turn your radio down, hey. Please.
Yes, I will. I've been trying to research EMPs, electrical magnetic pulse.
Okay.
University of Maine knows nothing. We've gone online, and I've researched a lot online and come up with bits and pieces mm-hmm. of information. I'm just wondering whether you folks or somebody that's out there has done more on the research to protect your home generators, your automobiles, and electronics. I know about the Faraday box for small electronics, but like automobiles and home generators, I've done what I think might be helpful, but I'm not 100% sure on it.
Okay.
So I'm just...
Yeah, there's not a lot out there. And one sidebar to this that I'll say while I'm still clear in my head here. Electromagnetic pulse wreaks havoc with... it would be something like a thermonuclear device going off in the atmosphere.
Right, there's three kinds.
Okay, I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't have that much time. But here's the thing: it has the potential, there's a pun there somewhere, to take out electronics like integrated circuits, solid state devices. One sidebar to this is that the one place where a lot of vacuum tubes are still being made. Are places like the Soviet Union, vacuum tubes being less susceptible to this problem than solid-state devices. I don't have any great suggestions as to where to go other than if you're really concerned about it is I suspect it's probably overstated slightly, but things like automobiles are going to probably have an issue even though they are in metal enclosures. We don't know because it's not happened. And the best resource I can come up with that I can guide you to is the one you're probably using, which is the internet, because there just is not any clear-cut definition other than what little testing has been done. And, you know, things get more and more sophisticated. I can tell you from experience, many devices that I've dealt with, especially related to heating things, tend to be very susceptible to static electricity, which is the similar kind of aspect. You've got this electromagnetic pulse. It's kind of like static taking out a touch screen. It's a big thing that it would expose maybe the whole country, the whole world, parts of the country, and do wreak major havoc on all our electronics. The best guidance I can offer is to avoid, if you're concerned about it, is to avoid electronic things, and certainly a more primitive generator doesn't have electronics, integrated circuits, transistors, that sort of thing are less apt to have the issue. But that's about as far as I want to go with it, just because we could do the whole radio program just on that. And I don't have any more background than that. And, you know, I'm sure there's some folks out there who have published who probably you could get to a university level to get some better guidance than you're going to get on this radio program. I'm sorry to say, but it is a potential major issue, and it could push us back a ways if in fact it happens. The catch is this: if you're concerned about electromagnetic pulse damage, the good news is this sort of mutual agreed destruction. That, you know, I think during the Reagan administration, they talked about, well, you blow us up, we're going to blow you up. I think the same thing is going to happen with electromagnetic pulses as well. You do it to us, we'll do it to you. So the catch is, how well prepared are the countries? I don't think it's a matter of indifference that there are more vacuum tube technologies in the Eastern Bloc countries than there are, you know, you can buy new vacuum tubes, but they're not being made in this country. I find that interesting, maybe slightly paranoid, maybe not. Then again, it's Saturday morning, it's hot and cold. We got to take a quick break, take care of a little bit of business. We come back, we will take your phone calls at 1-800-966. Whoa, what happened here? Did we not cue something up? Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Let's go back here, start over. You know, what is wrong with me? I don't do the radio thing right sometimes. There we go. We've got to have some bluegrass music at the 9:16 break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. It's 9:19. It's the cool sound on Saturday morning. It's the hot. It's the hot and cold on the radio. Good morning. My name is Tom, and I have some happy Hungarian tunes for you. We will play in just a little while. So stay there and don't change that dial. Whatever you do. All right, phone number 1-800-966-1039. We got text 601-207-4478. And all kinds of... I'm expecting we might hear from Pete, although it seems like we have computer woes at work. Maria says her computer's down. The airport died. The check engine light came on Maria's car. It's just been a good morning so far, 9:20 on Saturday morning. Other than that, everything's just hunky-dunky. So hopefully we can deal with some issues for you and keep things running smoothly, as it were. It doesn't happen. Well, wait a minute. No, nothing there. It all happens at once. You know, as there goes the inverse theory of the universe. If you plan for stuff, like if I planned the airport, yeah, I got a spare wireless router at the shop. Nothing happens. Everything's fine. Everything, you know, the router's never going to die. If I don't plan for it, which is what we did today. As a matter of fact, we have to get a new wireless router for the new shop anyway. Of course, the one good router we have has gone bye-bye. So other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, everything is fine on Saturday morning. I guess I'm going to be fixing routers and stuff instead of finishing my office this morning after the radio show. But we can talk in the meantime at 1-800-966-1039 at the Texas 601-207-4478. When we were getting the office ready, I mentioned the building is sitting on a slab that's not insulated. And you can't retrofit it easily. Well, there's ways to do it. We had to retrofit the slab to insulate it, and you can't get underneath the slab unless you lift it. So we put foam on the top side of the slab to insulate it. And I see I got a phone call, so I'll hold that thought. I've got it right there, and we'll take the call, and then we'll go back to that one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good.
I have a question about fencing.
Okay.
I need to put up a fence, and I want to grow some pot now that it's legal.
Okay.
And the fence, I need to put up the fence on a busy road and kind of like stealth, have a stealth area, but I need to let the light in. How can I put up fencing that's going to incorporate both of those parameters? Is there anything?
Oh, that's a good question. I would be using, I guess I would go with something like a some of these white vinyl fences that, you know, they're going to reflect light around a bit as opposed to a wooden fence. If I was using a wooden fence, I would paint the growing side white just to help it bounce light around to get more light on your plants you're growing.
But I can't have a wooden fence because it's going to block the sun.
Well, you've got to, if you want stealth, you've got to have something to block the view that, you know, people see with light. So you can't have both. So I'm saying use something light because it will reflect light. It depends how big the area is, but it will reflect light onto the stuff you're growing.
Okay, because I want this to be legal, you know. I mean, I think we're supposed to not have it visible to the general public.
Yep, so then, you know, you're looking at some kind of solid fencing, and I would do it with as light a color as I can, and white would be the one, just because it is more reflective, and sunlight will, even though it is blocking light to some degree, it's still going to help reflect light. Unless it's a, you know, 8-foot by 8-foot enclosure, it's going to have enough light reflecting off. It'll be diffuse, but it'll be better than having a wooden fence that may be stained dark brown. That's going to tend to not work very well for you in terms of light.
Yeah, I understand the lighting. I just was hoping that maybe there was another way.
No, nope. Not if you don't want people looking at it.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. That's a new one on me. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. So to get back to the slab thing, you know, we put down 1.5 inches of foam on top of the slab. It's an uninsulated slab. And we had used that space that way for a couple of years, you know, 5 years or so. And it was always cold. Your feet always felt kind of cool because, you know, even though the building is heated, the floor is sitting on top of ground that might be 45 degrees. So that floor temperature might be, I don't know, 55 degrees, 60 degrees even. Still, unless you get a really good fire going in a wood stove or got a lot of heat running, it's always going to be cold. So by doing a thermal break, by having foam on top and then decking on top of that, we solve a couple problems. One is we have an insulated floor. We have some resiliency so we're not sitting on concrete anymore. And it's much easier to keep that space warm and comfortable. The one catch was the fact there's a door, an entry door, with the door swinging in. And if you build up the floor, in this case, 2.5 inches between the decking and the insulation, door ain't going to open. And we want everything to be on the same level. So the door got taken out, and that's what recip saws are for, with nice recip saw blades that cut nails, pop the door out, put some structural framing underneath where the door is so you're not just sitting on foam. You've actually got some pressure-treated 2x that, because it's exposed, we want to protect it. And I wound up replacing sills. I think I mentioned that. It was very easy to replace sills in this building because the sill that was shot, there was nothing left of it. It was just pull it out and we're in business. The new sill popped right in and, excuse me, everything got foamed up nice and tight. So, anyway, we got some phone calls. Let's go back to the phones right there. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Excuse me. Hi, you're on the air. Not anymore. Everybody's gone. I'm trying to cough here. Let's try that again. 1-800-966-1039. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning. I was wondering if you could answer a Toyota Prius question this morning.
Sure.
Turn
your radio down, please.
Okay. We're having a little trouble with our getting our gas to go into the gas tank. We put the nozzle in, and it took, you said, a half an hour to get 7 gallons in it.
Boy, do you have any check engine lights on?
No, there's no check engine. No lights are on. We were wondering if maybe it could be cranked. like maybe there's a blockage, maybe.
Well, the Prius, what year's your car? How many miles?
What year is your Prius? 16. Oh, 2016. How many miles do you got? 150,000 miles.
This is a 2016?
Yep.
I would be going back to the dealer. There's something, you know, the Prius tanks are bladders. And I'll be honest, I've not laid hands on a 16, so I don't know as much about them. But they're, it sounds to me like something's going on with the emissions control, which, you know, recycles vapors that would come out of the tank and otherwise be lost. There's something going on there, I think. And you definitely got to get it to a dealer to see what they say. And maybe there may be a recall on this, or it might be a warranty issue.
Right. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm sorry I can't help you more.
No, that's all right. We listen to you every Saturday, Tom.
Okay.
Love you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It is 9:28. One more call here before the break. Excuse me. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Morning, Tom.
Hi.
Question. I don't know if you've had any experience with low voltage outside lighting.
Some, yes.
Well, I'm about to, I want to plan on some installing some lights. Mm-hmm. And I, looking online, there's a ton of options. I just didn't know if you might be able to recommend a particular brand or anything over another.
Yeah, offhand, no, I can't. My approach to a lot of lighting these days is to look at the solar-powered LED lighting for any number of different options, just because they're kind of self-contained. And unfortunately, there's no place that offers them where you can look at them ahead of time. So it becomes an issue of actually buying one and seeing if it fits your need, and then if it does, then you can buy more. And if I was buying low voltage lighting that you're putting in, as you described, that would be wired, I would certainly be dealing with LED lights, which I'm sure most of them are anyway. But I do not have a brand that I can suggest, just because I haven't shopped them that much. I'm not sure that's real critical. I would be looking to who is selling it and what access we have if there is a warranty issue. You know, the chain stores would be my first stop, just to look online. That's about as far as I can go with that one. We got some text messages we have to deal with, but first I guess we have to take a break here. And we go here, we can do this, and we can hit that. We get out of here, and we'll be right back. It's 9:30 here on The Voice of Maine. It's hot and cold. Stay with us. Okay. All right. Okay. Enough. We're back. It's hot and cold Saturday morning at 9:36. And let's see. There's a lot going on today. Not the least of which is we got Pete on the phone again.
Good morning.
I know some people said, wait a minute. No, we had too much Pete last week. You know, people said that to me. They stopped me on the street. They said, who is this Pete guy anyway?
Yeah.
Pete, how are you?
I don't blame him.
I don't either.
I know what I'm like.
I've heard stories. So we got Pete down at the Prius store, my place of business, and our place of business, excuse me. And we got the moving sale going on for the second big week, Pete.
The second week in a row. We've got more stuff than we had last week.
How could that be? We sold stuff.
It's just as dusty. It's just as, like, marginal in whether or not it works. And it's just as affordable. You know what happened last week?
What happened?
Several people left here, and they got pulled over immediately by the police. You know why? Because the police thought they had stolen things based on the prices they paid. They're like, you stole this. You didn't pay enough money for this.
You know, I feel bad about that.
I had to go down and clear their names.
Oh, you know what?
On my time.
You're a good man.
I think so.
I'm impressed that you would do such a thing for our customers. That just shows you the dedication you have.
Well, I'm a philanthropist and a humanitarian.
Well, you know, I heard that you were up for the Nobel Prize last year.
All right, you're just making stuff up now.
No, I'm not. No.
So listen, just in case anybody's wondering, the hybrid Highlander is sold. That's gone.
Oh.
Third row seating, all-wheel drive, hybrid.
That's a nice car. That was.
System gone. Nightshade of white. Oh. She picked it up this morning. She's probably listening right now because I set the radio to.
Hi, Hillary. Hillary, hello.
So that's gone. She got probably the best deal.
You buy a car on
Highlander on the east coast of the United States.
If you buy a car on Saturday morning, you get a call out on the radio.
Well, you know what? We'll put your personal information on the airwaves.
What was Hillary's number? Let me get her phone number here.
Call Hillary and congratulate her on her new car.
Yeah. Yes.
No, but that car is gone.
Okay.
That's gone.
I'm sorry to hear
that. I've got a lot of other cars left. I got an Element. I got Priuses. I got a Honda Fit. I got a Tacoma.
Yeah.
Oh, and a beautiful Ford C-Max, a 2013, 60,000 miles. You know what? You come for the C-Max, you stay for the junk in the warehouse.
That's right.
We'll work it right up.
The C-Max came in last week, 62,300 miles on it, 2013. And it's like a it's like driving a spaceship.
Don't steal my copy.
You said that. You got that genetically.
People like the stuff that I write on the Facebook page.
Yeah, they don't like anything I write on Craigslist.
You're like, I made that up.
Just so you understand, all the Craigslist stuff is mine. All the Facebook stuff is Pete's, although I occasionally sneak something in.
Yeah, well, we've gotten more compliments on the Facebook postings.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I get likes and stuff.
Yeah. I get sales. Yeah. Boom.
That's fair.
Okay. No, so Pete, the yard sale, we got garage door stuff like crazy.
Oh, yeah. We got a bunch of it's new old stock overhead garage door track. And I've got some garage door panels too. They're pretty big.
Well, you got full doors worth of panels.
Yeah, don't ask me what they are. Just come and look at them. I don't know. Just come. They're like the tires. Just come look. You got nothing else to do. It's Saturday. Come on by. There's all sorts of great stuff. In a couple hours, Tom will be here, and he won't be able to get away, so you can talk to him.
I was supposed to go paint.
I'll go paint.
Okay.
You hold the floor down.
Okay. What else? We've got plastic. If anybody out there needs to weld plastic sheeting together, whether it's greenhouse plastic, you know, you've got that new pot growing marijuana operation, and you want to
vacuum seal it.
You could weld together your plastic panels, the plastic, if using polyethylene film, you could weld it together and make insulated panels. What a great thing that is.
That feels a little close to, like, drug trafficking, I think.
Okay.
Well, what else do we have? We got a blueprint printer.
Yeah, that's right.
Like a giant, a 24-inch large format HP printer.
How much is that blueprint printer?
That printer's $40, but I'll give it to the next person who walks in for $35.
I'll tell you what, you go to 30.
I'll go to 30.
Okay, there you go.
We've gone insane. You know what else? Last week, if you were here, everybody zeroed in on this cherry red Vespa, right? It's a 2018. Everybody wanted to see it run. I couldn't get it running because the battery was dead. It runs now, so you can hear it run. It's a 50cc, so you don't need a license for it. It qualifies like as a moped or something.
Yeah.
You can't drive it out on the road, but...
You can drive it in... Well, you can't really drive it today anyway because it's raining, but... you can run it.
It runs now, but you can't drive it. That's
so that's you come back on a sunny day and buy that. Then that's not got a blowout price. It's got a good price.
It's got a good price at $2,500. It's 2018.
Yeah.
Especially if you live in a city, that'd be great for getting around.
Yeah.
Or if you're a big fan of the Deadpool movies, he rides around on a Vespa.
Does he
it's
really?
The exact color. It's the exact same color.
So you could get a Deadpool outfit and go around and protect people.
You know, I thought about that right around Halloween.
Did we have it for Halloween, or we got what?
I don't remember.
It was after Halloween. Anyway,
we've also got. You know what I got? I got three cordless 18-volt Ryobi drills here. Between the three of them, I'm willing to bet you'd be able to make one functioning drill.
I'm going to guess you can make two, but that's just me guessing.
I think one has a bad shock. I don't know about the other two. But it's $10 for the three drills. If you've got a Ryobi drill, that's worth it just to have the extra parts.
Bring your battery and test them out.
Bring a battery and test them out. Why not?
Yeah.
I've got a Kenwood stereo with no faceplate for $3 for your car. So you can get real creative.
And the faceplate is available. I looked it up. It's like 20.
If you knew what the model was, which we don't.
We do. It's on the thing.
Is it?
Yes, I looked it up. I'll be honest with the audience. I know that as a used car dealer, that seems like counterintuitive, but I looked it up. It was like $20 for a faceplate.
Okay.
But I bought
$23. You got a Kenwood.
Yeah, I bought a $18 MP3 player on on eBay to and put that in instead. So yeah, I know. Well, I'm an old man. This old man's story. All right, I gotta let you go because you know we're I got one more.
I got one more. I got a Tapco Porto slitter for slitting aluminum coil.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you do aluminum siding, this is you got to have. This is an expensive thing. I mean, this is you look. I tell you what, Pete, do me a favor. Look that up online. Just look up the price and. I don't want to talk price now because I think we have underpriced that so severely that it's. I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
Okay.
We have underpriced that to such a significant degree that if you get in there to buy that before Pete looks it up, you're gonna literally steal it.
I'll give you a 5-minute head start. I'll stand here and do nothing after I get off the phone.
Okay, I'm glad you remembered that because it is a really good tool. It works well.
Okay.
All right, Pete. I'll see you in a little while.
Yes, sir.
Hillary, drive safely, and we'll see you all soon. I'm okay. Staying. You're leaving. Bye.
All right, I'm going to go.
All right.
I got stuff to do anyway.
Okay, good.
All
thanks.
Right.
Bye-bye. All right. Phew. What was that all about? That's my son, Pete. Hey, so what do we got? Oh, my other son is looking at houses, and he sent me a picture yesterday of a house. With all blown out, it's obvious the heating system froze, and I just love that. I think that's, for me, that's kind of fun to make a heating system whole again, and I actually enjoy the plumbing part of it. So I'm hoping he gets it. Plus, the house is big enough for mom, and it's in a scenic location, a touristy scenic location. And it's big enough for mom and dad to come and stay and not be in the way with our own bathroom. So anyway, we got some text messages here while we have about 10 minutes left. Thinking of putting solar panels on the roof to offset my heat pump. Best way to do this, can it be done without grid tying it? It can be. It is actually cheaper and easier to grid tie. And the deal with grid tying is that when you generate a lot of solar energy in the summertime, you know, you run a little bit. We don't use that much air conditioning here in Maine. So you would displace any energy use for air conditioning and bank the rest with the utility. And it's a question of the size of the system. You can really kind of oversize the system and then bank energy with utility and take it back in the winter when you would use it to run the heat pump for space heating. I think that's a good fit. If you want to do it without grid tying, it can be done, but there's going to be a little bit of a mismatch there. There's going to be times you're apt to waste some energy and or you spend a fair bit of money for storage that is still kind of pricey. That's going to change at some point, but right now that is a challenge. Hot and cold. Let's see. Is it better to use gloss, semi-gloss, or flat white paint on your something? I can't. It got cut off there. If you're saying ceiling, I think it's better to use flat white paint on everything except trim. Trim, I would use a semi-gloss. You know, when you go, as you get glossier, it shows more defect. Flat paint hides everything. Not everything. But it hides a lot. And Flick Lives, thank you. You know, a lot of impact or influence on my radio stuff has to do with Gene Shepherd. If you don't know who Gene Shepherd is, you can Google him. Let's go over to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning. I just want to say your son Pete sounds great. And he could be on the radio, and it's comedy, and it's great, and your music is great. I told my son about the sale.
Yeah.
And he's going to go down and check it out.
Okay, good. Tell him to bring money. Make sure he brings money with him. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Margie. Yeah, yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah, my son Pete is good. He is a character. And we like having him around most of the time. He has his moments. We all have our moments. We can get crusty. And as I said, I work with two of my middle children, my oldest daughter, Maria, and my younger son, Pete. And it is great fun to work with them. And they put up with me being, you may find this hard to believe, but there are times I am rather crotchety. I'm looking, I've got this text coming in. I got text coming in and they're all chopped off. So I'm only getting part of what you're saying, the 781 guy or lady person. I'm not sure what that's all about, but is what it is. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text is 601-207-4478. We still have time for more calls if you want to call in this morning. If not, I can regale you with stories, which is what I do. I talked to my my friend Mark about a final step. One of the final things we need to do is in moving over to the new place, it doesn't have anything to do with bureaucracy or anything else. It has to do with mud and getting some gravel work done. And we know where the gravel is not now. I've dug some. Reminds me, years ago in a previous life, which I've had several, I used to work in the woods. And I had a foreman. His name was Frank Whitehouse Anderson. And Frank was a real character. And he kind of talked like this. He says, "Keep her in the ruts, boys. Keep her in the ruts." As we're going down the dirt roads in Township 30. Anyway, back to line one. Good morning. You're on The Voice, Maine.
Hi. I'd like to ask a question about sump pumps for my solar.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I've got a little plastic one there. My boy bought the house here about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was a little plastic one with a tube from Tractor Supply.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the little fins and it got plugged up.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what you'd recommend for a better pump to use in the floor because it's I never dealt with it before.
The ones, if you shop locally, they tend to be a little pricey. I have gotten online. Usually when I bought a couple of sump pumps, we used them for emptying tanks. You know, we were doing a lot of testing with tanks. We'd have 1,000, 2,000 gallons of water. We'd fill it up with water, and then we got to get the water out. And if you use a siphon hose, it takes like 4 days to get the damn thing to empty. So we got some pretty substantial sump pumps. The ones that I like, one company, there's a couple. The one I can remember right now is made by a company called Wayne. And I got on eBay and shopped them there. I do two things. I've said this before. I would get online and look at Home Depot, Lowe's, see what the prices are and what the quality is. And then if I saw something I liked, I would also get on eBay and shop it and see. Many times I've gotten some really good sump pumps for a fraction of their cost on eBay. If you're not under the if you're not underwater and need it desperately today, it's worth looking online. It really is because there are a lot of times there's remanufactured ones, and then there are ones that might have a damaged box, and every so often you get some great deals.
Okay, I'll look for the Wayne ones. I looked online last week, and I remember seeing the Wayne.
Yeah.
So that's the one I'll try, and I'll look at the stars on them.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay, good luck. All right, see ya. Couple other things. First of all, we some text messages coming in before we run out of time. When is the sale? The sale is today, Monday, Tuesday, till we run out of stuff or we move. We're moving with, the goal was to move, be out of there by Tuesday or Wednesday. We're probably going to be a week beyond that at this point, but everything is very rapidly diminishing. So, the sale is, today all day, and Monday. So weekdays, feel free to come down and look around. It is 423 East Main Street, which is Route 1 in Searsport. You'll see a bunch of Priuses out front, a sign that says Prius. That's us. And it's the really tall building out back. but are you going to do the garage sale? Like, yeah, I am. Okay, so we answered that question too. Speaking of eBay, I had been looking for a charger, something I could use to charge whole battery packs for Priuses, and had looked around a whole bunch of different ways of different kinds of power supplies, and I kind of knew what I was looking for and shopped it kind of hard, and I got one, and it came in this week, and I want to tell you, it was not real cheap. It wasn't real crazy, you know. It wasn't like hundreds of dollars, but it served the purpose. It was used for other things, but it served a purpose well. Has everything I need in terms of safety, so I don't damage the batteries I'm working on, and gives us the luxury of dealing with whole packs that might have, you know, if a car sits for a long time, the battery pack will discharge down. There's 28 individual cells. And the time it takes to have somebody like me sit there with 28 individual cells and charge them all individually, it could be a long time. I don't have that kind of time. I could do it. I've done it. And that's what forced me to buy a complete pack charger. So, and the device we got will let us do most batteries. So I'm kind of excited about that. And, you know, you buy something online, you never know. And I've got burned, but this looks like it's brand new and it works perfect. So I made my week. It was a crazy week in terms of moving and all the other things, but I want to tell you, it made my week. Oh, one other thing, I got a minute left, two left here. We needed paint for our office, right? So I said to my wife, I said, don't we got paint left over from the house? Don't we use that? So I go and I got paint that I had gotten when we did the house over years ago from a chain store that I will not name, but their paint I knew was awful when I used it, and I used it again, and it is still awful. Go figure. So I wound up getting some good paint. What a night and day. I mean, this stuff, the chain store stuff, just dripped everywhere. And I will show you on the clothing I am wearing right now. My pants are going to be painting pants because it just dripped on everything. So I wound up getting some higher quality paint, and it did the trick. It still dripped, but not as much, and I got to go because we are out of time this week. If you get a chance, come on down to our garage sale. It's all got to go, and I got to go. And that's just about all I got to say. See you next week.